Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Let's get into the Word of God. If you've been around Nations Church for any amount of time at all, you would have heard our cultural statements. You would have heard our eight cultural statements, these eight statements that express aspects of who we are, not that we've attained it, but who we're continually aspiring to be. And the first of those statements is we are about faith. We're about faith. We believe in the power of prayer and we seek after the miraculous in our lives. Yes, we do. What a bold statement. What a rich, audacious statement to make. You know, Ken and I dream of leading a church where the people, thousands of people, are just so full of faith. They're just so confident in their God, so assured in Him and of Him. And I know for many of us, though, that faith is a journey. You know, for me, faith has certainly been a journey. You know, you don't always feel entirely satisfied with where your faith is at, do you? Do you? If we're being honest here. You know, if you were to rate your faith out of 10, if someone would come as if you could do that and say, rate your faith out of 10, I don't know how many of us would be pulling out, you know, 10 out of 10, 10 out of 10 faith. You know, I think all of us at different times have recognized a need to grow in our faith. Yeah. Many of us in the room would know what it's like to have faced, you know, crises in our faith or struggled or wrestled with this idea of faith. We would have had situations in our life that deeply tested or deeply challenged our faith. I've spoken as a pastor to many people in the past who have felt very disheartened in their faith, even defeated in their faith, that they were believing God for something and it didn't happen, and they feel like they've failed at faith. Am I speaking to someone this morning? Yeah. You know, currently we're in this season of seeking God. We're in this season of seeking Him for more, and we've had a phenomenal 7 days. I hope you managed to get out to at least one of our Seek Nights prayer, our nights of prayer. We've had some incredible times in God's presence, in His God's goodness, and we're unashamedly still going after healings, breakthroughs, miracles, and these sorts of things. But I do acknowledge the journey of faith. And I thought it would be a great time together today to, in this season of seeking, to talk about faith and maybe dispel some myths that are out there about faith, to make sure that our faith is aligned correctly. And it's my prayer that today as we leave, we'd be so encouraged and built up in our faith, so perfectly aligned in our faith, together we'll live out this culture of we are about faith. Amen? Who's ready? We're going to start in an obvious place. We're going to start Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. That beautiful, profound, biblical definition of faith that says this. It says, now faith is the assurance of what we hope for, and it is the certainty of what we do not see. This is why the ancients were commended. They were commended for their faith. To be certain of what we do not see, that is to have faith. Like you don't see it, but you're certain of it. That's what faith is. The scripture also says in 2 Corinthians, it says, for we live by faith. We live by this certainty in what we do not see, rather than our sight, rather than what we do see. It's a certainty in what we don't see as an even greater reality than what we do see. Now, right here, like already, I think that the word challenges us, right? The word confronts us. And people would go, you know, Lord, oh, if that's the definition of faith, to be certain of what I don't see, then I'm struggling already. Maybe I don't have much faith. But I want to say to you this morning, if you are a believer in this room, Yes, you do. You are about faith. If you are a believer in this room, by the very virtue of the fact that you are a believer, you already have a significant measure of faith. Is not your belief in God a certainty in what you do not see? Like, you believe in God, you don't see Him, but you're certain of Him by faith. You believe in the Son, Jesus Christ, you don't see Him, but you're certain of Him by faith. You believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, you don't see them, but you're certain by faith. It's all by faith. If you are a believer, you have already demonstrated a significant measure of faith, a significant degree of certainty in what you do not see. You know, you're already participating in the unseen realm of the unseen God. You must be. You're a believer. Remember when Jesus, after His resurrection, He rose again and He encountered Thomas. Do you remember that? And He said, Thomas, you believe Me because you've seen Me, because you've touched the scars in My hand and in My side. But then He goes on to say, and He says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet they believe. That's us. We're doing better than Thomas. Pat yourself on the back this morning. You're doing better. Not that it's about comparison. We're doing better than Thomas. Let's go a bit deeper. Romans chapter 1 verse 17, it says this. It says, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So through Jesus Christ, God has revealed, or God has made available to us, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. A righteousness that is by faith from beginning to end. So not only have you believed in the existence of God by faith, but now you have received righteousness by that very same faith. You being in right standing with God, that's what righteousness means, to be in right standing with God. It has been made available to you because you believed. Because you are certain of God the Father, you are certain that He sent His Son Jesus to die and rise again, and your belief in that whole package deal is the thing that got you in on this righteousness by faith. And that is why it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Of course the righteous will live by faith. The righteous must live by faith, because without faith, you have no righteousness. There is no righteousness if you do not have faith. We're standing in a righteousness that is by faith from beginning right through to the end. We don't graduate from the need for faith. Therefore, faith. You know, this certainty of what we do not see, it is a life principle of the people of God. It is a fundamental, because we enter into this life by faith and we stay right to the end in this life by faith. So regardless of the lies you may have believed, regardless of the enemy in your head saying, you don't have much faith, you're not very good at this faith thing, if only you have more faith, I want to say to you this morning, believer, be encouraged. You already have a significant measure of faith. You are actually about faith. Do I have an amen? Let's go deeper. So this entry-level faith, if you like, for want of a better word, when you believed God and it was credited to you as righteousness, it brought you into a relationship. You didn't sign up for a club, a Christian club. You didn't subscribe to a particular ideology or some particular religious expression with your life. You were brought into a relationship. You believed in God, your Father, who so loved you that he gave his only son for you, that whosoever, and in this instance, the whosoever happened to be you, you who believed in him, that you would not perish, but you would have eternal life. It was relationship. It was relationship with God the Father and his beautiful son that gave him. You responded to his love expressed in Christ Jesus. And it's in the context of this relationship that faith actually grows. Faith doesn't grow through striving. Faith doesn't grow and be deepened by us beating our flesh and flogging our flesh. Faith doesn't grow through praying some more lengthy and convoluted prayer as if that in and of itself was a means to increasing faith. Faith grows in relationship. Who knows our faith needs to grow? My faith needs to grow. Faith is not a set and forget thing. Faith is not a, hey, I believed once and, you know, if it changes, I'll let you know. You know, that sort of fleeting faith is in such grave danger of falling away because who knows, faith will get tested. Faith gets tested. And if faith in your life is not cultivated, if it is not developed and given attention, then it'll likely end up becoming no faith at all. Faith needs to grow. It needs to be nurtured and developed in our life. And the way that this happens is in the context of relationship. Now, relationship is spelt T-I-M-E. Relationship is spelt time, is it not? You can't build a relationship without spending time. A relationship where there's been no investment of time or no attention, that's not much of a relationship at all. That's going to remain a mere acquaintance. You know, it'll remain shallow. You might have that sort of relationship with the deli owner or the guy at the post office that you tip your hat to on the way in and out. It'll be shallow because there's no investment of time. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a mere acquaintance of God. I want to know God. The Apostle Paul exclaimed, I want to know Christ. I want to be acquainted with him. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know the fellowship of his suffering. Everything else comes a distant second to my need, my strong desire to know Christ. It's when you invest time in your relationships that they deepen and they strengthen. When I was first introduced to my beautiful husband, Pastor Ken, let's give it up for Pastor Ken. Yeah. He loved that. He didn't love that at all. I knew him as a cute Malaysian worship leader with big hair. If you can believe it, if you've got faith to believe it this morning. That's how I knew him. That's how I knew him. But as we spent time together, and hello, we spent quite a lot of time together, didn't we, baby? 20 years and counting. My knowledge of him increased. He wasn't just Malaysian. He was Australian. He knew more about AFL football than all of my family members combined. You know, I got to know him as a full-time accountant that worked in the city. I got to know him as a very talented musician, plays the piano, plays the guitar, plays the bass. But more than that, he was a worshipper in his heart. You know, I got to see him as a son and as a brother, a friend. And I got to know him as my best friend and eventually my fiancé and, you know, my husband and the father of my children. More than that, I understood his heart. I came to know what he liked and what he didn't like. I came to know what made him tick, what made him annoyed. Yes, I did. It's usually me. I I came to know his dreams and his plans and the things that he held dear in his heart. There's so many facets of who my husband is and was that opened up to me as we spent time together in relationship. And if that is true of our relationships with one another, how much more true is it going to be of our relationship with the unsearchable God? When we spend time together in relationship with him, we get to know him, more and more facets of who he is, more and more facets of the unseen God and his unseen realm. We get to know what he's like and know how he thinks and how he operates and what pleases him and how much he loves us, and we discover he's more than just our savior. That was kind of just entry level faith, but he's also our provider. He's also the shepherd of our souls, leading us and guiding us. He's also God our healer. He's also God our victory. He's also God our strength, and so on and so forth, and so much more, because a lifetime spent getting to know him would not be enough to reach the depths of all that he is. And of course, in that relationship, we experience the manifestations of his divinity upon our humanity, where he touches our life, transforms our heart. He brings peace to our soul and healing in our body, and all of these things as we journey in relationship. You know, he gives us these spiritual disciplines, you know, his word, his precious word and the reading of it, and devotion and worship and prayer and meditation and all of these disciplines, not so that, as so many people have erroneously thought, so that we can attain righteousness. That is not what they are for. Remember, righteousness is by faith from first to last. The spiritual disciplines are simply a means. They are a tool by which we can know him more and more and more, to know the unseen God, to see and understand his unseen realm in an increasing measure. And as this happens, as we see him more, as we know him more, as we're increasingly certain of what we do not see, is this not an increase in faith? Is this not a growing faith? And it all happens in the context of relationship. Let's have a look together at the life of Abraham. See, because Abraham knew God to such an extent that he's the only Old Testament character to be called the friend of God. What a title, the friend of God. So close was this relationship that he had with God. So he developed that trust and that sharing. He was given this remarkable title, the friend of God. And what we also know about Abraham is that he was renowned for his faith. He features as one of the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. The chapter tells us that by faith he just obeyed God and went to a foreign country. By faith he received the promise of numerous descendants. By faith he was prepared to sacrifice Isaac, sacrifice that promise. The Bible tells us that Abraham believed God. He just believed God, and that belief was credited to him as righteousness. So here we have Abraham. He's both a friend of God, and he's also a hero of faith. And I want to put it to you that Abraham's great faith in God arose out of his great relationship with God. I believe he had great faith in, because he was a great friend of. When you know someone, when you really know them, their character and their thoughts, how much easier is it for you to believe what they say, to trust that person? You know, some random man on the street was accused of a bank heist, say, stealing $1 million or something. And if I was asked, do you believe that he did it? I wouldn't know how to respond to you. I would not know how to answer you. I don't know him. I have no basis of understanding, you know, on which to judge him, on which to speculate whether he may or may not have done that. But if someone accused Ken of a bank heist, of stealing $1 million, and if I was asked, do you believe that he did it? I would laugh in their face. I would laugh because even if I wasn't there, even if I did not see, it would matter not. I would defend him unceasingly in his innocence because I know him. I know his character. I know his integrity. I know his ways. I know he'd really like $1 million. But I know he's way too straight to ever cross those sorts of lines. You know, when you know someone, you trust them. The Bible tells us that the children of Israel, they knew the deeds of God. They knew the deeds of God, but it says that Moses, their leader, knew the ways of God. In other words, the children of Israel, they knew about God. They knew about him. They saw what he did and they saw his acts and stuff, but Moses knew God. He knew God intimately, and he knew God's character, and he knew God's nature. And we see such a difference in their faith responses to God. See, the children of Israel, they lost their faith at the drop of a hat, didn't they? They turned their backs on God in a heartbeat. But the cry of Moses' heart was, if your presence doesn't go with us, I don't want to go. It is requisite for me that I'm with you. In fact, you can have your promised land. You can have your milk and honey. You can have the manifestation of that promise. If you're not there, I don't want to go. I don't want it. See, it's deep relationship that leads to deep belief and deep connection and deep conviction. These patriarchs of old, Abraham, Moses, and others, the heroes of our faith, they demonstrated the sort of faith whereby, and listen to this, what they were believing for was always secondary to who they were believing in. What they believed for was very important, but it always came second to who they were believing in. And I think this is a critical key, a critical component that we also need to establish as a church and as individuals as we boldly proclaim we are about faith, that what we're believing for must always be secondary to who we're believing in. See, sometimes we get so hung up on seeing the manifestation of the what that we are believing for, you know, the healing and the breakthrough and the release and the provision and the word and the direction, et cetera, et cetera. And don't get me wrong here. Please don't misquote me. We are unashamedly going after those things and so much more. We've seen them. We will see them again by faith, and we will see them in greater measure and greater number. Don't get me wrong. But they must always remain secondary to our relationship with the who we're believing in. I think we get in trouble with our faith when we subtly shift focus. We get in trouble when we start putting greater emphasis on the what we're believing for than the who we're believing in. And we can make this mistake of believing that the only evidence of great faith is to actually see the manifestation of what you're believing for. The conclusion we draw, if we haven't seen the manifestation, is therefore there must be a problem with my faith. My faith must be weak. My faith must be small. Maybe I've failed in my faith, but I want to say to you this morning to encourage you, in the absence of the manifestation of what, people of great faith know how to run back to the who. Yeah. Let's face it, sometimes the miracle tarries. Sometimes God in his sovereignty does not release the miracle in the time frame that we would like or in the way that we desire or the way that we expect. Sometimes the what we're believing God for can turn into a what the, you know, what the heck, God, are you doing? You know, I had faith. Maybe you were pressing in. Maybe you were seeking. Maybe you came to Seek Week. Maybe you fasted. Maybe you haven't seen your breakthrough yet. Maybe things got worse, not better. Maybe that God dream looks so far away from being reality that you've contemplated even giving up on the dream. We've all had moments like that. You might be living in one of those moments right now, but I want to encourage you that in the absence of the manifestation of what you're believing for, run back to who you are believing in. The story of Abraham, the miracle, tarried and tarried and tarried. See, God spoke, didn't he? He said, you're going to be the father of many nations. Your descendants will outnumber the stars. And yet he and his wife were barren. They had no children. There was no manifestation. The what he was believing God for turned into a what the. Like, what the heck, God, is going on? You know, 25 years passed between Abraham being told that he would be a father of great nation, made a great nation, and the moment when Isaac was actually born. 25 years of nothing. 25 years of nothing in the natural to suggest that this promise could actually be fulfilled. He was old. She was old. Like, they were well past childbearing years. And yet Abraham is considered a hero of faith, not because of the manifestation of what he believed for per se, but in the absence of what. For 25 years, he never lost sight of who he believed in. That's why he's a hero. Romans 4 says this about Abraham. It says, he did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's deadened womb. Yeah, that's pretty old. No unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. Listen to this. Fully satisfied and fully assured that God, his friend, was able, that God, his friend, was mighty, that God, his friend, was able to keep his word and do what he had promised. That's the language of relationship. He was fully persuaded in his friend. He was fully persuaded in the character and the nature of the unseen God and the nature of his unseen realm.
Yeah, so good.
When we walk with God, our relationship with who we're believing in will sustain us even if we haven't seen what we're believing for. You know, the manifestations of what will come. It will come. Because as we get to know who, we realize he is the supernatural God. He is the miracle working God. So the what's will come, but if we find ourselves in the waiting, if we find ourselves waiting for what? The people of great faith steadfastly anchor themselves to the who. Yeah. The who we're believing in. Great faith isn't always jaw-dropping. Great faith doesn't always look like amazingly spectacular. You know, the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, they did some pretty ordinary things, but they did them by faith. Like, by faith, Abel offered a pleasing sacrifice. It's pretty ordinary. By faith, Noah started building. He started a construction project, albeit an unusual one for the time, but he just started. He got going, you know. By faith, Abraham, at the prompting of God, he just left. He settled himself in a foreign place, a foreign country at the word of God. Maybe some of you have settled yourself in a foreign place at the word of God. By faith, Abraham was prepared to surrender what God had spoken to him. He was prepared to lead. By faith, Isaac, it says he blessed. By faith, Joseph, it says he spoke. By faith, Moses, he just took a stand. Maybe some of you have taken a stand by faith. Maybe some of you have spoken something out by faith. Maybe some of you have blessed someone by faith. By faith, Rahab, she welcomed the spies. She just opened her home. In so many ways, they just did ordinary things, so much like many of us here today. Some of them saw amazing miracles, some of them did not. But it wasn't so much the manifestation of what they saw that lists them here in the heroes of faith. It was their unwavering conviction and steadfastly anchoring to who they believed in. I don't know about you, but I've still got some watts. I've still got some mountains that need moving. Anyone with me? Yeah. I still got, you know, our son. He's a mountain. My beautiful boy. But I've still got some watts I'm believing for. But for as long as I'm not living in the manifestation of what, I am not disqualified from being a woman of great faith, because I know whom I have believed, and I know that he is a mountain-moving God, and I know in his divine timing and at his word, he can release whatever he wants to release. I know he can do it for me, and I know he can do it for you, and I want to say, Nations Church, that we are about faith. Do I have an amen? Come on, why don't you stand to your feet?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.